All right, episode 22. Can you believe it? 22.
Yeah, how many months does that break down? Is that five or six?
Right around there. Yeah,
and we've had, what have we had during that? I mean, Kobe Bryant's died.
Yeah, crazy.
We've had pandemic.
Pandemic. Cancellation of March Madness.
Football's on the hook. We'll see.
Yeah.
There's been a few things going on.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always things going on.
Yeah.
Now, you know, last week we kind of talked about the ins and outs of the coronavirus, what we think it's going to do, how it's going to affect NCAA sports in the future. And then this week we had some interesting developments here where Nick Saban, the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, has handed out Apple Watches to all of his players.
Yeah.
So this sparked a bit of an outcry because that seemed to be that the other coaches in the SEC were saying, this is not okay, this is illegal.
Yeah.
So is first of all, is the actual action of just handing out these Apple Watches, is that something that is illegal?
Well, no, so it has to fall into a bucket of what you're using it for. You know, you can give gear out to student-athletes, you can give student-athletes laptops for educational purposes, athletic purposes, that sort of thing. It can be a, you know, done through different buckets of that makes something permissible. Obviously, they worked with their compliance office on it. Everybody's just getting one. They're not to be sold. You have to use it. So it's okay to have that done. So I see how they got to giving the Apple Watches done under a specific bucket for educational purposes, that sort of thing. There's participation awards. There's different ways to get student-athletes things. That's the thing. Like, student-athletes can get earbuds, right? They can get Beats. They can get Apple Watches. They can get shoes and clothes and gear under permissible buckets. Now, this isn't in a recruiting inducement. This is just them giving it to current student-athletes for educational purposes. The more stickier issue here, though, actually is, well, actually, we're getting pretty tight on time here. I'll wrap this up, but the stickier thing here is monitoring practice time.
Right, that's what they said. Nick Saban, on a conference call, said that they gave out these Apple Watches to provide monitoring capabilities while working out at home during this pandemic.
Yeah, so here's the thing, because you can, it goes back to that voluntary CARA versus monitoring time.
Right.
You're limited on how much CARA you can do right now. And if it's voluntary workouts, they can't track on that.
Right.
It can't be reported back. And so that's what everyone was looking at, is are you requiring or monitoring people's private self-workouts? And if you are, it's a CARA violation.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to put it in place to make sure that the student-athlete has a way to turn it off. If they're voluntarily working out, maybe they turn it back on when it's a required workout. I'm not sure how all those little nuances will work.
Yeah, because we're in the recruiting dead period right now, but a lot of programs would be having their spring practices right now. So
yeah, recruiting and playing season are different calendars.
Right.
So you have a dead period recruiting-wise, but you can still have CARA going on. And they have CARA going on right now, but if it's voluntary, it can't be reported back at all.
Sure.
And if this watch is reporting it back, then that's an NCAA violation.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, we'll have to monitor this, see how the NCAA responds. Mm-hmm. It is Alabama, so they are going to be given some preferential treatment, of course. joking.
Yeah,
but we'll see what happens here. We'll keep an eye on it, and we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So what does that sound mean, Aaron?
Well, that means we have a caller. And we're taking, you know, as we do, and we've developed, as most of these podcasts go along, we oftentimes incorporate a caller into the mix. For the fans, really. It's not for you and I.
Oh, no. Well, this one's for you and I.
This one's probably for us.
But so who are we going to be talking to?
We have a cool one today. We have Deland McCullough, who is the running backs coach for the Kansas City Chiefs of the NFL.
That's awesome.
And they're not just any NFL team. This team won the Super Bowl last year.
They beat your 49ers.
Yeah, they beat not my 49ers. I do not root for the 49ers, but I respect the 49ers. They beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and Deland has been there for a couple of years. And before that, he was at USC, where we won a Rose Bowl.
Gotcha.
And this is a big-time NFL coach that is joining us today on our podcast.
That's super awesome. Well, as always, going to the phones is brought to us by Welsh Brewing Green. We're a law firm here in Portland, Oregon. We specialize in workers' comp, personal injury, social security, disability, and...
and sports law. Collegiate sports law is probably our focus here. But we could do pretty much anything that a compliance office could do. You know, if you're a student athlete that is going to lose your scholarship, you think, we can help you navigate the appeals process. High school students, we can help look at your stuff and make sure that you're going to be eligible. We can help with transfer stuff. We can help schools that want to do an audit. And even if the NCAA doesn't mandate an audit, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do one. We can help with policies and procedures, and we work out an hourly rate and help you out.
All right. So how do they get in, how does someone get in contact with us? That's the question.
Well, step one, you got to contact us, right? You got to, and I suggest a couple of cool ways to do that. Call us at 503-221-0870 and just ask for Aaron or Spencer.
Yep.
You're going to get our main law firm line. Just ask for Aaron or Spencer. They can also email us, I think, Spencer, right?
That's right. So we have a setup email, which should be right here. It's for the video. It's collegesportsattorneys@gmail.com or email me at skelly@wbgatty.com or...
yeah, or Aaron Price. That's me, aprice@wbgatty.com. And reach out. Let us know what you need, and we'll help you out.
Yeah, give us a call. We're happy to help. All right, well, it's time to go to the phones here. Aaron, who do we have on the phone today?
Yeah, so we got a person I really respect, actually, in the business. Dylan McCullough is his name. He was a running backs coach, and he was a coach for USC football when I was in compliance for USC football. And the way USC did it is we had us all sort of on the same floor. And so Dylan, his office was just right down the hall from my office. And, you know, I always respected Dylan. I thought his work ethic was great. You know, he was good with people. A really good coach. I mean, it was a shame USC lost him. But I was excited to talk to him because I appreciated his work ethic and his skill at what he did. And he was meticulous with the rules, and he knew the right questions to ask. He was very smart. So we're lucky to have him today, and he's given us a little bit of his time, I'm excited.
Yeah, well, Dylan, thank you very much for your time today. First of all, we always ask our people who kind of come on this podcast, the first question we usually ask is kind of, you know, where are you right now, and give us a little bit of your background. So, you know, where did you play, where did you grow up, and then where are you currently working?
Yeah, first off, man, I just want to say thanks for having me on. Kind words from Aaron. Always have respect to him, man. He always had a big smile on his face, man. Very inviting, you know, as a compliance guy. I never was afraid of him as a compliance guy, man. I embraced, you know, the relationship and knowing what's right and what's wrong and building on everything from that. But right now I'm in Olathe, Kansas. I live in Olathe. Sitting in my office right now at the house, kind of looking down at my boys in the backyard messing around by the pool. So that's where I'm at currently.
Nice.
For quarantine.
You know? Yeah, right.
Exactly. But I'm originally from Youngstown, Ohio. That's where I grew up and everything. And went on to, you know, obviously I played football and went on to play for Miami University, Miami of Ohio. I was a 4-year starter there, kind of broke all of the records during my time there. I went on and played with the Cincinnati Bengals and had a great preseason. I was leading the NFL in rushing. And in the last 2 minutes of the last preseason game, I got, you know, my knee got blown out, kind of everything got blown out. It was a pretty gruesome deal.
Dang.
Came back, never really was the same. You know, I was with Philly the next year for a little bit. Then I played 2 years in Canada. Had a quick shot with the XFL, the first incarnation of the XFL. After I got done playing ball, I went into education. And from 2003 to 2010, I was a principal. You know, so after that, I've been wanting to get in college. You know, I mean, I coached high school ball and then ultimately rose to the level of athletic director. End up being a principal my last 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
So I wasn't coaching anymore, but was still dealing with all of the student athletes and, well, actually the whole school, obviously, but of course leaned towards the athletes. And I had an opportunity to get in college coaching, and I got in at Miami University, and everything took off from there. I was an intern, like a quality control guy the first year, and I'm like a 36, 37-year-old, you know, quality control guy, but it was my alma mater. And then I got the full-time job there the next year. I lasted 1 month as the full-time guy, and then I went to Indiana called. I went to Indiana. Was at Indiana for 6 years and went to USC for one season, and then I've been with the Chiefs the last two seasons.
Wow, that's awesome. What a career.
Yep.
First of all, we want to make sure you know, go Red Hawks, right? That the Miami of Ohio. Right?
Oh, yeah, Red Hawks. It was Redskins when I was there, but
Red Hawks now. Okay, all right.
You got to change that out. Yeah, so, you know, you got a real varied background dealing, which is awesome. You know, you've coached, you've been a principal, you've worked with different young men for a lot of your life. And what would you say, and you probably ask this question a lot, but I'm just curious, you know, what's the difference in your mind, other than money, of course, you know, of coaching collegiate players? You know, you're coaching somebody at USC versus you're coaching a pro, you know, at the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, does your philosophy change? Do the way that you go about your work change? I mean, what are the differences that you see?
I'm going to tell you right now, this is probably what's been a good thing for me, is having that varied background and working with different guys on different levels, you know, being a high school principal, just knowing how to communicate with people, you know, whether it be students, adults, whatever, parents. Of course, all those things were very strong when I was in the college arena, you know, recruiting and dealing with parents, and then obviously dealing with those student athletes. But I'm gonna tell you what, I've taken that exact same approach with me to the NFL, and nothing's changed. As far as my approach, nothing's changed. And I think the results and just the level of respect and just the way that my players deal with me, they see that, and it's been a strength for me during my time in the NFL because of that personable relationship that I can build with these guys. Although they're grown men, they're millionaires, they still want to be treated with respect, and they still want to have that personal relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Did you find that you had to initially sort of earn their respect a little bit? Was there a sense of, well, this is a new guy coming in, he's new to the league, I'm already a pro, I already know what to do, he's not going to be able to coach me up? Was there any of that that you experienced?
No, I didn't feel any of that. I mean, the guys knew, first of all, I mean, Coach Andy Reid, I mean, this guy, Hall of Fame coach, when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
They know he's not going to bring in any slouch, number one. Number two, they know the guys I coached.
Yeah.
You know, they're seeing Tevin Coleman, Ronald Jones, Jordan Howard. I mean, they're like, man, these are good players. And the thing is, all these players want to know, what can you do to make them better? How can you help me? How can you make the game easier for me? What can you do to enhance my career? And instantly I came in and provided tools for that, you know, skill on the field, you know, relinquishing some of the mental load that they had, you know, making the game easier and faster for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was curious about, you know, another thing I've been wondering is what do you say makes a good player versus a great player? I mean, obviously you're going to have some people have natural skills. They're faster, a little stronger, whatever. But you know, there's obviously some players that find a way to make themselves a star, and other ones are serviceable running backs, but maybe they don't break it out at that next level. Are there certain intangibles that sort of make certain athletes get to that next level?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously you need to have a skill set, but then how you work and continue to build on that skill set. You know what I mean? We all see, whether it's football or just in general, we've seen guys, again, in all walks of life who rest on their laurels, and then they get passed up by somebody who may not have been as talented or as smart, et cetera. They just worked at it.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's the same principle here, you know, having guys, you know, with a talent, you know, but are they willing, do they want to continue to put in the work to enhance their strengths, you know, and build on their weaknesses? So, you know, that's what ultimately, you know, determines the difference between some of these guys. Because I've been around guys who had all the talent in the world. They didn't work it. They didn't have attention to detail. It wasn't that important to them because they had been getting by on natural ability up to a certain point, you know, and didn't ultimately get passed up by somebody who may not be as skilled, but they just work at it more.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like work ethic is, you know, that kind of Mamba mentality kind of idea. You know, there's something to that, you know.
It is.
You know, that's how was that experience with the Super Bowl? That must have been just a dream come true for you. I mean, that's got to be, I mean, just that whole experience. I mean, what was that like for you? I mean, I'm sure at a personal level that had to be just sort of a dream come true in some ways, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was great, you know, and the thing is, you know, I sat there, you know, we felt like we should have went the year, but my first year there, you know, we were very confident coming into that game against the Patriots and thought we could have got them, you know, should have got them, you know, so we came into that next offseason, you know, the last offseason very hungry, but it was an interesting conversation to have with my guys again, and we talk about all kinds, we talk football, but, you know, we talk about life too, but it was interesting as we had that conversation coming to the Super Bowl, and we were just sitting there talking. I said, just think about this. This might have been 4 or 5 days before the Super Bowl, and I said, how many of you guys, when you were 14, 15, 16 years old, you know, even, you know, coming out of high school, had the going to the Super Bowl and or winning the Super Bowl as one of your goals? It wouldn't have got to raise his hand. I said, let's be honest. You looked at the Super Bowl as something so, like, out of there, like so unattainable that you never really put that. If you was in have a top 10 list, it wouldn't be on your top 10 list. You would have going to the NFL, you know, getting a big house, you'd have that type of stuff, you know, getting a college scholarship, whatever it might be. But going to the Super Bowl was looked at as like the holy grail, you know, of football.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, here we are, we're here now. And I said, man, let's go ahead and go get it. And that's what we did.
Oh man!
How did the Chiefs as a coaching staff approach going to the Super Bowl versus any other game? I mean, it sounds like you had that conversation with them where you were saying, "Hey, this is a big deal, guys. Let's make something happen here." But I mean, did you guys approach it kind of with the same mentality of this is just another game, or did you approach it with we're tackling this? This is a whole different level.
No, we took it. We looked at it as the same. Same, you know, just another game. You know, I mean, like I said, the conversation I had with the backs, it wasn't saying, hey, let's turn the switch and do something different. It was just saying, hey, let's enjoy this moment. It's here. I mean, it's something that at the end of the day, you know, how many opportunities do you get to do this, you know, playing the Super Bowl? And let's, you know, let's enjoy everything that's involved in it. But at the same time, our approach and our mindset won't change, and we're going to go out here to win this game. So, you know, as an entire staff, nothing was different. We didn't feel any as a different level of pressure, and we got to do this or do that. No, we're going to go out and do what we did to get here, and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I've heard that, right? Like, if you try to do things that you're not supposed to be doing, or you try to do extra, or you try to do things that you don't normally do because it's a bigger game, quote unquote, that's probably going to backfire on you, right? I mean, that's one of those things where you want to just approach every game with your game plan and treat them all the same. Otherwise, you're going to try to overreach maybe or do something you shouldn't be doing, and you're going to fumble, or I don't know. Is there some truth to that? I'm not a coach, but I've heard a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's truth to that. And to me, it goes even a step earlier than that where, you know, you practice how you play.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's game six, whether it's a preseason game, you still want to prepare and practice like you're preparing for that game. So I never wanted it to be a situation where I told guys, or I've been with a team where, like, okay, now let's flip the switch. It's a game. Now we're just going to go out here. Yeah, we got more people here, but I practiced the way I'm going to play all week.
Yeah, that's a – have you found any techniques of preserving – running backs, do you ever, you know, is there ways to put them in mm-hmm. positions to maybe not get them as beat up? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because.
Oh, yeah. And I've utilized it for a long, probably since my second year in Indiana, which is just start rotating guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got your bell cow, and you got your main guy. You know, and that was an interesting conversation I had when I came to USC with Ronald, you know, and with Coach Helton and those guys saying, look, you know, we can rotate guys and still make sure our top guy is getting everything he needs and providing everything he needs to provide for our team. You know, and I think it ended up working out, you know, pretty well for everybody. We'd rather have Tevin Coleman, you know, rotated a bunch of guys. Jordan Howard. We had another guy who ran for 1,000 yards when Jordan Howard ran for 1,000 at Indiana. We had two guys run for 1,000 yards, you know. And then, obviously, with Rojo, every guy who was his backup had, you know, over – they might have – each of them might have had over 30, 40 carries each, you know. So – and the same thing I've done when I was here, you know, was, you know, it wasn't as popular, you know, but I think once we got going and showed that, you know, you had great backups, you're developing guys, because in my opinion, you develop your room from the bottom up. Yeah, we know we got a top guy, but what about these reserve guys? You know, what can they give us? So, you know, creating that depth and then utilizing it, you know, I believe that, you know, I got Damian Williams. I believe he won a very good running back. But I think that Darwin Thompson, 100% Darwin Thompson, is better than a 70% Damian when Damian get wore down.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's the thing. Like, if you focus all your coaching on just your one and your two, and if one of those guys goes down, you got guys that are kind of uncoached that now you're leaning on. And that's probably not a good thing, you know.
I never followed that adage, you know. And even, like I said, I've been with coaches, you know, not necessarily where I am now, but I've been with coaches who say, hey, this main guy should take every rep. And the thing is, to me, you start even getting diminishing returns through practice doing that. You just burn guys out. It's a long season, you know.
Yeah.
Asking these guys to do a lot. So, it's never been about, hey, you're being easy on guys and you're taking it easy on them, you know, being soft with them. No, we're in this for the long haul, and there's some things you don't need to see a guy do. You know, I know a guy can run a flat route. How many times I need to see my starter run a flat route? You know, certain things, certain plays, you know, like, we can sub guys in and get other guys going in practice to take off the load on your main guy. And then the same thing in the game.
Hey, I speaking of practice, I'm really curious, you know, right now, would you guys be in practice right now? Or would you guys be practicing, are we totally in the off season right now for the NFL?
No, our phase one work would begin on the 20th.
Okay, so if you guys are still under quarantine, are you guys going to just be monitoring that with the guys at home?
We'll be, you know, waiting to hear what the league is going to say on that, you know, and. Man, you know, take our marching orders from there. But right now, I mean, there wouldn't be anything going on as far as with the players at this moment anyway.
Oh, okay. So that worked out. That worked, to the extent that we're all under quarantine, that's okay for you guys right now.
Exactly. At this moment, yeah.
Yeah. Are there playing season rules like there was in college, meaning there's certain times you're not allowed to work with the guys or that sort of thing? Or is it just free reign? You can do what you feel you need to?
No. So even with the OTAs, I mean, there's different phases of what you can do with the guy. So, you know, in the first phase, you know, it's more classroom type things, you know, and they're doing things without, when I'm talking about football stuff, they're doing without coaches' instruction. And then it just kind of ramps up through phase two and then obviously phase three. You know, phase three, you're out there. Of course, you're not fully padded. You got helmets on, but you're able to do competitive things against each other, one-on-ones, up to a point, different things like that.
Okay. So there is some kind of general rules. It's similar in some ways, but
yes.
And you have.
Yes.
Does the teams have somebody that kind of educates everybody on those rules, or is it kind of just you're supposed to just sort of learn it on your own, or does everybody just sort of know? I was curious about that.
No, I mean, you're educated. I mean, so you'll know, hey, here's what you can do. Here's the amount of time you're allowed to have with these guys.
Okay.
You know, and Coach Reed and with, you know, all the people, this is what you get. So, you know, the schedule is structured in a way where, you know, it's not like, man, I didn't know. I'm sat up and met with some guy for 4 hours today. That can't happen.
Plus, yeah.
The players know.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to know, too.
They know.
Andy Reid must have been so excited, man. He deserved that so bad. I mean, that was, gosh, I feel so good for that guy. How's he been to work for?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A true... a football mastermind. He got to know everything, you know, and his disposition is one that you got a lot of respect for. I mean, he's even keeled. He's very detailed, and he maximizes, you know, whether it be players or staff people. I mean, he plays everybody's strengths. So, you know, you really appreciate working for him, and you look forward to coming to work.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you see for yourself? I mean, obviously you're happy in your role now, of course, and it's a dream come true job for you. But do you have different aspirations? I mean, one day would you want to see yourself as a head coach somewhere?
Oh, of course. I mean, I don't plan on being a running back, just a running back coach for the rest of my career. I mean, everything, everything is, is building blocks, and you got to get experience, kind of moved up the ranks on the college level and then, jumped here into the pros, don't know where everything will end up, but I see myself as a head coach for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hopefully in the near future, I would hope that's what I'm trying to position myself for, but I don't make those decisions. All I do is, control how I present and how my players play, and just working hard and getting pertinent knowledge just going to be able to help a program go to the next level under my leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I had any say in it, gosh, I know you'd be great at it. I mean, your principal background, you got college experience, recruiting, NFL, work ethic, you can talk to different people. If I was going to pick a head coach, that's what I would be looking for, to be honest.
That's what my feel is too, but how this works. But at the end of the day, you just, put yourself in a position to, again, have an opportunity to be heard. I mean, somebody might be listening to your podcast and say, wait a minute, let me look into this guy a little bit more.
Absolutely.
But, exactly. But, at the end of the day, man, you got to just control what you control and move on from there.
Yeah. Well, gosh, Dylan, I know you're super busy, man, but I really appreciate you coming on and chatting with us, and it was an honor having you here. Do you guys have your Super Bowl rings yet?
We do not. Now we're looking to get sized up here shortly.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to flashing that ring.
Oh man. Yeah, I know. No kidding, man. That's a once in a lifetime. That's you deserve it, man. You got great things, a bright future. I loved working with you at SC, so I appreciate your time coming on and giving us a little sneak peek into coaching at the NFL and at college and the Super Bowl, man. You had a lot of fun stuff. So I hope the coronavirus stuff gets pushed back. Hopefully the NFL goes forward. We're all hoping for that, and we'll see what the future holds. But I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
No, I appreciate it, man. Everybody out there, be safe, man. Let's do our part by, adhering to what the rules are right now, because it's only going to bring sports back, but more importantly, just make it a safer environment worldwide in general.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Dylan. Take it easy, man.
All right, you too.
Okay, bye.
Well, that was a spectacular conversation.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, we have a Super Bowl winning NFL coach, big time coach, and he's
great guy.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Nice family guy. I worked with him when I was at USC. Here he is. He's got aspirations. I predict at some point soon, you're going to see Dylan McCullough be a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's next year, 2 or 3, 4 years, he's going to be an NFL coach. He could be a Hall of Famer one day. So he's a good guy. I consider him a friend. I respect his work ethic, hardworking guy. And he gave us some time on our small little podcast here to kind of talk about the Super Bowl and NFL players, and we just thought, does it break what we normally talk about with compliance folks? Yeah, but I think it's good for listeners to also just hear somebody that made the transition from college and learn that there's rules at the NFL level too,
sure,
that they have to follow. It's the same kind of idea. And
absolutely.
So, I thought it was really cool. And hopefully the NFL goes. What do you think, man? Is the NFL going to go this year?
I think the NFL will go. I think the NFL will go, but I have a suspicion that it's going to be pushed out a little bit.
Okay, delay?
A delay. I think they're going to do a delayed start.
Mm-hmm.
I think but hopefully it goes. I feel the same thing about college football, actually.
Yeah.
I think that college football is either going to be shortened or it's going to be pushed out, but one of those two things is going to happen. We just need a cure for this coronavirus. We just need to get over it. We need to find a cure. We need to figure it out.
Yeah,
because we need to get back back in the swing of things here.
Yeah, I feel like culturally as Americans, even if you're not a sports fan, getting together in large groups is a big part of what we do. Whether it's concerts, church, sports, different events. Am I wrong there? I mean, not everybody enjoys that.
No,
but that's built into our grain. If we can't do those things, that's very hurtful as a society. So I know I'm pushing hard. And no disrespect at all. I mean, I know that people are losing their life, and it's really serious. And we hope it just goes away. We want it to go away, or find a cure, or find a medicine. But gosh, I really hope football goes.
Yeah. It'd be. It's tough already without March Madness and baseball and stuff. But yeah, no football would be really tough, especially no college football for us and for me. I know specifically.
Yeah.
So interestingly. Even though we're all in a pandemic and everything's going on, the NCAA is always watching, right?
Yeah.
NCAA is always watching. So
guess who's not working from home?
Yeah.
The NCAA. Those guys are working.
They're always watching.
Yeah.
So UNC Greensboro, who are the?
Yellow Jackets.
The Spartans, close.
It's
the
same vein.
Not the same vein. they got dinged this last week, actually. The NCAA came down and they said, look, you guys, they committed a violation. And they got dinged pretty good. So let me tell you what we know. So the first thing is, what happened was the NCAA found that a former coach at UNC Greensboro contacted 13 student athletes who were going to transfer but had not yet entered into the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So they're contacting, this is a UNC Greensboro men's soccer coach, reached out and had impermissible contact with recruits who were going to transfer, but hadn't actually transferred yet,
or sure.
hadn't actually entered the transfer portal.
Yeah.
We've heard a lot about the transfer portal from a lot of different compliance people and how great it is.
Yeah.
And how once they're once they're in there, you're good.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with contacting a student athlete who's going to transfer, who everybody knows is going to transfer, but hasn't yet entered into the transfer portal?
Yeah, I mean, it's just too premature. It's one of those things where what if at the last minute you changed your mind and decided, I was going to transfer, never mind. So the bottom line is you're not triggered to talk to the student athletes until they actually enter the transfer portal. It's just, before that, it's just them sort of spreading a rumor that I might transfer, I'm planning a transfer, it's a thought I've had. And so what it is impermissible contact.
Just impermissible contact.
Yep, you're contacting, but it can be really significant, actually. Really significant. And if you have multiple ones of these, the NCAA can come down really, really hard on people and coaches. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the sanctions are pretty strong on this
one. Yeah, so listen to this. So they were already on probation, okay, UNC Greensboro, and they were added another year of probation. So that extends all the way to 2023. $5,000 fine. A three-week ban on all recruiting communications with off-campus recruiting, 1 year show cause order for the former coach, and then they had to suspend two regular season contests. And the former coach has to go to a rules seminar, the NCAA rules seminar.
Yeah, yeah.
So at 20 intense. Or 21, that's at his own expense, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So pretty significant for a men's soccer program, which probably it's not like their men's basketball or men's football or something like that brings in money. I mean, this is a good ding on them.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. The NCAA treats the rules the same whether you're lacrosse or you're football. They say, hey, this is one of the most serious violations. It's tampering, basically.
Right.
It's no different than if you're working at Intel and Apple and you're in maybe some sort of contract and you got those vice versa staff members or HR trying to poach people kind of illegally. It's the same kind of idea. It's really serious. And so it's not that hard of a rule. Like, you cannot contact someone until they've entered the transfer portal. But here's what happens a lot of times, and I wonder if this happened in this case, is if somebody leaves a program and takes another job, sometimes on the way out, as they're leaving, they'll say, hey, contact me. And they're doing something. You're really not supposed to do that either. I mean, you're supposed to just sort of cleanly move on. And if somebody puts their name in the transfer portal, you can contact them. If they don't, they don't. You know, you're not supposed to influence people to transition artificially we were with another school, basically.
Yeah, we don't really know a lot of the facts. The NCAA, when they send out these these news clippings, they don't really tell you a lot. We basically know what we shared.
Yeah.
So, you know, that may have happened, but we don't really know. So, the end result, or what do we learn from this, is
it's impermissible content.
So even though if you know that a student athlete is going to be transferring, right? Even if maybe he posted it on social media, hey, I'm transferring out of the school or whatever.
Yep.
No contact until they're in that transfer portal.
Yep.
And then go. You know, you can have your number of contacts that you can.
Yeah. Do what you can do. But yeah, until they do it, don't trust. Or they're going to. They should. They're probably gonna. That's the takeaway. Otherwise, you're gonna have these kind of problems. I mean, listen. It's financial. It's embarrassing. It's a show cause order. It's costing the school probation.
Yeah.
They can't 3 weeks of no recruiting. I mean, that's devastating for a lot of programs. I mean, so there's some problems there, but it teaches you got to do things right. You know, if you're trying to get things kind of, now maybe the coach didn't know, I'd be surprised, but if that's true, you know, then yeah, he's going to go have to learn. He's going to have to fly to the, you know, but now with the coronavirus, I think it's going to be done in person, thankfully for him. Normally it's not, and you'd have to fly there on his own. I've seen coaches, when I went to the regional rules, every year you see a handful of coaches walking around the hallways looking kind of maybe disgruntled a little bit, but they're under sanctions of forced to be there at their own expense for the hotel and the flight and the food to watch some regional rules and kind of like, you know, go through a CLE, so to speak, you know, for all day. And that's just, or a couple days actually. And that's how it is.
All right. Well, so on top of this, we also got an email. One of the things that you and I like to do is we're entertainers, right?
Yeah.
Not only are we lawyers, not only do we share information, but we like to entertain as well.
Absolutely. Right? I think we both have a time or two in our life have been involved in theater or the arts.
Sure. Yeah. You've been in a number of movies, I know.
And you have a theater background.
I do. Yeah. In fact, I do. Being entertainers, we got a call or an email last week from a listener out in South Carolina, actually, who indicated they were wondering what was the funniest NCAA violation that we had heard about. And so I brought this email in to you and I showed it to you and you said, I've got one perfectly. So tell me what happened.
Yeah, right off the top of my head, I knew about it. I didn't have all of the nuances, but I knew the gist of what it was. And it happened in Portland, actually.
At the University of Portland.
University of Portland.
And they're
the Pilots.
Pilots, you knew that
one. Yeah, I knew that one.
Okay.
Which makes sense, right? If you're living in Portland, Pilots.
Well, they're boat pilots, right? They're boat captains and stuff like that.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think more about it, it doesn't make any sense.
Portland is where the port, there are ports, there's boats.
But so, these are planes, pilots.
No, these are pilots of the boats. That's what they are.
Man. How about boatsmen?
Okay.
To actually make it gender neutral, so it'd be boats people.
Boats people, that'd be
good. Yeah, we'll see. Anyways, we digress there a little bit. But so here's the thing, though. So this athlete, I believe it was a golfer, decided that she needed to wash her car.
Okay.
And she's looking around university. There's not really a car wash nearby. And she knew there was a university hose off to the side of one of the buildings.
Seems innocent.
Yeah, I mean, water's for free, right? I mean, generally, I mean, there's a water bill, but it's you could go get water out of the drinking fountain.
Sure.
Right? And there's a hose in there. So she clicks it on, wets her car down, suds it up a little bit, and washes it off. Well, you know, it came down that the water hose was not available to the general public, not to all students. And that's always the caveat with these violations. And so it's not like there's hoses all over campus and anybody on campus can wash their car for free. So she got an extra benefit for washing her car with a free hose for one time, and it was a violation. And they had to report the violation and charge the student $20 for the cost of the car wash, which is pretty high. I mean, so they overcharged her. And it was funny. I mean, it's like it cost the school nothing. And the person wasn't trying to cheat. They were already there. They washed their car. But that's, to me, it jumped out at me as a very funny, ridiculous violation that just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, there's what are you going to do?
Don't wash your car on campus with a hose that's not available to everybody.
Don't do anything that's not available to anybody on campus. And if you do it, you're probably going to get yourself, even if it's getting your car washed by hose around a building. And that was it. So that stuck out to me as like, that was a legit, that's a serious thing. And they reported it and they charged her and they moved on. And it's ridiculous for sure. And it's one of those that probably should have just been education only. Meaning like, oh, hey, but hey, they got to draw the line somewhere, because if they said that was okay, well, then is it having a car service okay? Sure. And then is it doing dry cleaning okay? And where do you draw the line? And so I get it from the NCAA's perspective. Rules are rules. Don't do things in our bill to everybody, otherwise you're going to file a violation, and that's what happened. But that was funny.
All right.
Right?
Well, so thank you very much for the call. We love, or for the email. We love interaction with our listeners. We feel free to email us any questions. Feel free to ask any, you know, ask us to tell stories. We'll do it.
Yeah.
We love interaction with the listeners.
Yeah, and then next, and we're going to bring you who you want to hear. The fans have been saying they want to hear from people in different leagues. We're going to bring that, right? And so we brought the NFL. Next week, we're going to talk to the Seattle Seahawks.
That's right.
As well. And then we've got, you know, other schools lined up, and we've got people that want to tell us funny stories about athletes lined up. So we've got plenty of things in the works. We've also had people contact us about jobs that we've heard, internships, different things. We've had people contact us about needing help for legal services or consulting services, actually. And so contact us for any reason, and we love to interact with people. And so don't feel shy. Shoot us an email, call us, and we might even put you on the podcast.
Absolutely. We love it. So anyway, so next week, like you said, we've got a big week. We're going to have a couple of really cool interviews.
BSK Law Firm.
BSK Law Firm's coming back on. We can't wait to talk to them again.
I would say they're the probably the premier sports law firm right now in the country.
And as we are all trying to get through this difficult time of being quarantined and dealing with the coronavirus and COVID-19, we just hope and pray that everyone out there is healthy and safe, that they're following the admonitions from the government and from leadership and from your doctors. We hope that and pray that this will pass over, that everything will be able to find a cure, be able to overcome this problem, and that be able to get over this quickly.
Yeah, absolutely, man. How are you guys quarantining this weekend?
We're just going to be staying home. We're not doing very much. Normally, we would have a big Easter egg hunt in our yard, mm-hmm. which you came to last year.
Yeah, which was awesome.
For kids.
I think my daughter came away with a lot of candy.
Yeah. Well, we try to do it for fun for all the kids in the neighborhood, and so we're not doing that this week. We're just going to have a yummy dinner Sunday night and just stay together, maybe watch a movie or two, and maybe do some yard work. How about you guys?
Same thing. I mean, we're going to have, I think, no rain this weekend. We're going to hide Easter eggs throughout our house and front and backyard. For our daughter to find, and just hang low and keep hoping that this thing, the curve bends and breaks and we get back to regular life.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what we're all hoping and praying for. So we wish you all the best out there in podcast land or wherever you may be.
Yep.
Go Red Hawks. I am wearing my Miami of Ohio.
In honor of
D-Lind, I'm wearing my Miami of Ohio shirt that my dad got me.
Yeah, that's a cool.
Yeah, I like
that's
this
a cool shirt.
So, any parting shot, any parting words of wisdom, Eric?
Just that shirt has Florida in it, Ohio in it, and England. I mean, it's like, that's awesome.
Miami, that's awesome. Oxford. Oh, that's where Miami University is, Oxford, Ohio.
How confusing is that? But that's really cool. So other than that, I just wish everybody well, and I look forward to a jam-packed podcast next week.
Let's do it. All right. I hope everybody has a great great weekend and stay healthy and safe out there, okay?
Lalia Tov.